during the show yesterday. So okay. He was briefed on this mm-hmm. before the game. Here's what you're going to be doing. The Pepsi pop-up competition. By the way, we have released the video of this at Willie D 1025. I trust, hopefully we can retweet this from the 1025 The Game account as well so you can see this. Because I just want
We definitely will.
I want people to see what happened here. Chase McCabe is standing nearby. You know, he's not afraid to put himself out there mm-hmm. for some of these things. But so Adam was a little concerned about... But then when he found out what he was going to need to do, basically this, the Sounds game management staff was going to take a slingshot a la Stranger Things.
Yes.
Right? And why am I forgetting the guy's name? The member of the little crew. Who's got the slingshot in Stranger Things? Lucas. Lucas is his name, right? He's a slingshot guy. So they're going to take three T-shirts, mm-hmm. shoot them up in the air like pop-ups, mm-hmm. and Adam's got to catch them.
Yeah. Sounds simple, right?
Sounds simple. Mm-hmm. Adam was a little concerned about the lights. He was concerned about his vision. He had a lot of things to say in the first six innings building up to this. But he went out there. As the video will show, he hustles out in the field just like anybody should do, right?
He gave his Adam trot.
Yeah, he gave the Adam trot. He waved to the fans. He got loose. He looked like he was ready.
Was he really loose or was he...
I feel
he gave
like
the perception of being loose.
You know he wasn't loose.
Yeah, no, I'm just asking questions because I've seen the video. Yep. But I'm just asking questions. That's all.
So if I hope people can look at this video, you can see it. But my radio play-by-play would be this: popped up on the infield, Vingan is under it. He charges. He's coming. He's not going to get there. It falls in for a base hit. So he missed the first one. He just misjudged it. So now you got to make the adjustment, right, mm-hmm. D-Mace, on the second one. So the second one comes up on him. He's not quite ready, and he appears to lose the second one in the lights for a second. Mm-hmm. Picks it up late. And, then, you know, it's a T-shirt, so you're not getting a true spin, right? Mm-hmm. It veers off a little bit, and he whiffs on the second one. So the third one, I'm like, okay, he's got to be ready now. This is the one. He's seen a couple in the air. He can adjust. Mm-hmm. And the third one, he charges again and comes up short. So... he failed to make contact. Not only did he not catch any of the three T-shirts, he did not make contact with the T-shirts.
Mm, that's interesting.
So he didn't show good range or judgment or...
He miscalculated.
He didn't get it done.
He miscalculated how the shirt was going to be launched in the air. He, misjudged it.
Yes.
But then he made the excuse of...
Well,
the lights was in his eyes.
Okay.
You know how many times I could have said that on the football field? Hey, coach, the lights was in my eyes, so I don't think I should try to catch this ball. You're supposed to be prepared,
exactly,
right?
What if Calvin Ridley just said that?
Exactly.
At the post-game
how would
presser.
We take that?
Yeah,
Willie, how would we take that?
I think there'd be a strong reaction
exactly.
on the field.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, David, you saw this video. What happened?
I've seen it.
What did you see?
I just saw a guy who just wasn't prepared, who, you know, when you play baseball, you obviously, Willie, you know, you got to get under it. And I just – there might have been
– He half-assed it, okay?
Yeah.
He half-assed it.
You think it was an effort?
It had to do with effort. He had no effort.
Say it.
No say
effort.
It, David. There was no effort. Watch the video,
Adam,
people.
No effort.
Watch it. The trot out on the field was faster than the effort he gave to catch those shirts. It's called the Pepsi Challenge, right? Or the Pepsi Pop-Up.
The Pepsi. Maybe if he would have had Pepsi.
Which means you need to catch the pop-up, right?
Yes. The Pepsi Pop-Up Competition. Now, I would love for people who have seen this video, go to the Twitter.
We retweeted it, so it's on both Willie Donick's Twitter account and it's on 1025 Games Twitter account as well.
And if you'd like to comment on this, just hit 615-737-1025.
Or have any advice for Adam.
Right, advice or any takes.
Better his form.
You know, any observations that you might want to make. It's presented by and driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Now, Adam has released a statement.
Okay, before
he has put out a press release.
Okay,
because he's not here to represent himself.
Before this press release, didn't we say, Adam, because we didn't know what Adam was going to be doing, didn't we say, Adam, maybe you should warm up a little bit, stretch, go out on the third baseline,
do
some sprints. We said this before, right?
We did mention that on the show.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
I have to say, when we were watching the first few innings of the game, okay, I didn't jump out and offer to go play catch with him or anything like that once we knew what was going to happen. But he didn't come to me and say, will you go down the line with me? Well, you know, they got that band box down the right
help
field
me
line. There's
help
a lot of space
you.
Down there. Yeah, we could
help me help you.
We could have made a practice run.
Exactly.
Also, I just want to say I just saw the video again, and I just see him just holding his hands up just like this and not having it like center forward. He literally just had it like out like this. And then did what a little kid would do.
It was shaky. It was shaky fundamentals all the way around.
What was his press release?
Okay, let me read the release here. By the way, it's 615-737-1025. If you want to look at the video on Twitter, it's at 1025 the game.
Yes.
All right, here is what the statement reads from Adam Vingan. Thank you to the Sounds for their hospitality last night and all season long. They are tremendous partners. In regards to the Pepsi pop-up competition that I participated in last night, the Sounds were unaware that I suffer from light sensitivity as a result of a corneal condition. That put me at a distinct disadvantage as I attempted to catch T-shirts fired by a slingshot. Therefore, I should be retroactively awarded 3 catches in the Pepsi pop-up event. I will have no further comment on the matter.
But wasn't that okay, I understand the deficiency that Adam has, and it's a legitimate one because he's talked about it before.
The light sensitive, yeah, the big ass glasses.
Yes, the big ass, hence the big ass glasses. Yeah. But wasn't that, shouldn't that have been up to Adam to say, hey, listen, I know what I don't know what I'm going to be doing, but just so y'all know, I have a light sensitivity. You know, to my eyes. So if it has anything to do with catching something that is going to be, you know, launched into the air, then I need to know because maybe I shouldn't be doing it. That's what Adam should have said. I'm not putting that on the Sounds. I'm not doing it, Adam. I'm not letting you get away with it. So it's on Adam.
I don't think there's any chance that retroactively he's going to be awarded 3 catches.
No.
In fact, I just don't know where to go from here. I feel like a Chase McKay versus Adam Vingan competition at First Horizon Park would be comical here.
Would y'all love to see that, listeners? Would y'all love to see that or hear us talk about what happened during their competition? Would y'all like to hear that? Would y'all like to see it?
I would like to see it. Yes.
I want to see a punt, pass, and kick competition between Chase and Adam Vingan. I think that would be really fun.
Ooh, that'd be good.
He took it in stride. The crowd did not boo him.
They didn't.
They were nice. They were.
Good. That's good.
And even there was a couple sitting right behind us in the stands, and he came. They saw me videoing, and this very nice woman said, "He did a great job."
That's almost worse.
And I looked at her. I looked at her and her. I assumed it was her date or husband, and I just said, "He didn't do that well."
Listen, I
and
love
then
him.
She was there for him when he came back. Okay. She was like, "Nice try. You tried."
It's always got to be someone that lifts you up.
He had to shake it off.
A for effort.
All
right. So look at the video. And just make up your own mind. I have to say, I told him, I said, attack the shirt.
Yeah.
You're not going to get a true drop because it's going to be fluttering a little bit. Attack it.
Yeah.
He just
stood there.
0-for-3, 3 air balls.
He stood there each time like,
dang it.
You're representing us, Adam.
All right, let's go for some quick commentary from our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and then we'll get to the guts of the show. Caleb texts, gotta feel like the big ass glasses would be an advantage tracking the shirts, but I guess not.
I guess not either. It didn't help him.
And he said, Gino on the text line says, he should have went out there with some face paint, you know, like the eye black and the old school 90s flip down sunglasses to counteract the corneal, what did he talk, the light sensitivity as a result of a corneal condition.
Yeah, you remember who made those glasses? What was his name on Different World? When he had flip-down glasses.
Yeah.
God, what was his name? I forget his name. God.
Dwayne Wayne.
Yeah, Dwayne Wayne. Yeah. He had the flip-down glasses. Yeah. Adam should have had some of those.
Yeah. We needed to consult Dwayne Wayne. That is going to be the key to the next time. All right.
So there will be a next time.
There will be, and Adam will have to build on his statement on Monday when he returns.
Yes.
So thank you to the Sounds for having us out there yesterday.
It was wonderful. We had a good time.
Meanwhile, just a quick sidebar. This tweet came in as I was watching the game, and the Mets were losing again. They just lost four in a row to the Phillies. They are out of the division race, and they are hanging by their fingernails to the wild card. And it reads this: check in on your Mets fan friends. They are not okay. And so I'm wearing my Mets hat today in the studio. I am not okay. They are choking. Oh, my gosh. It is bad. It's hard to watch.
But isn't this
the
life?
They are 35 and 53.
But isn't this
since
the
June
life
13th.
Of a Met fan?
Yes.
It's kind of like the Cowboys.
Yes. So I have thick skin. I do have thick skin, but this is hard. I mean, they were way ahead of everybody, and now they are hanging on. Good night. So that's a sidebar. Now to the football. The injury report comes out, and Adam was right about this. You and I weren't quite sure, but they have now revealed that Meatloaf, DeAndre Sweat, will not play against the Rams on Sunday. He's out, as is J.C. Latham. So you got two key young players who, if you could choose anybody to not, you know, to be out, you'd hate to have these two because these are pillars, you hope, of the future. You get the home opener. Neither can play. So that is, I don't know if I would say a game changer, but it's a big factor in the game.
Well, it is a big factor, especially from the offensive side of the ball, because an offensive line that struggled mightily once J.C. Latham went out of the game. I understand. I get it. Denver's defense is an elite defense, but the Rams' defense is a good defense as well. They may not be Denver's defense, but they attack the ball. They try their best to get to the passer. They're not a heavy blitz team, but after watching last week's tape, best believe that blitz percentage will go up. I'm not saying it's going to go up tremendously, but they will pick and choose more times than not, especially on third down, to blitz the young quarterback. They want to test the mettle and the fortitude of that offensive line without a J.C. Latham out there and a Cushenberry still, you know, working itself back into football condition, or working himself back through the idea or the surgery that he had for the Achilles. So this Rams team, they smell blood in the water. And, again, I don't think they're going to, you know, go from being a low blitz team to the most blitzing team this week in the NFL. But they are going to, blitz a little bit more than what they did last week, and rightfully so. So I'm more concerned about the J.C. Latham injury than I am the DeAndre Sweat. I think they can mask the DeAndre Sweat injury a little. The Rams offensive line is a little beat up too.
And they've got a little more depth.
Exactly. They got some depth, but it's not like they are a juggernaut as far as running the football, that you're not facing the Baltimore Ravens or the San Francisco 49ers, teams that, you know, love to run the football and do it in exotic ways, meaning San Francisco. So, and there are other teams out there that run the football really well, but you're not dealing with one of those teams. You're dealing with a team that's balanced, a team with a smart quarterback, an offensive play caller that knows exactly what he's doing. So losing DeAndre, I think, isn't a big enough. It's not the loss that it is not having J.C. Latham out there.
The other question that I think everybody is going to be wanting to know is L'Jarius Sneed's availability. He did face the media today. He had some things to say. I don't think that we got a definitive number of plays that he is going to be in there. I think he's probably going to have more volume, right?
Mm-hmm. You would expect.
And I do think I would err on the side of caution. I know how many people want him to just go out there and just be ready and play the whole game. I'd be careful with that based on how far he's come. This is a quote from Legarius Sneed today. Everything is going the way it's supposed to go. I'm feeling good, taking it day by day. I think I'm headed in the right direction. I'm feeling pretty good. But not a commitment of, hey, this week it's going to be 40 plays, or this week we're going to go into the second half. So we still don't know exactly the workload. But I think I would venture to say it's going to be an increased workload. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, you would assume. And I am happy that Legarius Sneed didn't say no more than what he said, because that, to me, that shows a level of communication. You've been communicating with coaches have been communicating with you. You know, you're not going to make a definitive, you know, statement either way. I'm playing this amount or I'm not playing. Last week y'all did that, said it was a pitch count, and then come to find out, yeah, it was a pitch count, but I thought it was going to be a little bit different, or I didn't know what it was going to be. So now, hopefully, it has been talked about, and he should know, hey, listen, going into the game, I am expecting to play at least this much. I played right before the half last week. Then this week, if we are sort of taking this thing by phases, he practiced all week. He was limited, yes, but he practiced. So by him practicing, but him being limited, is he limited because this was always the plan? Even when you first got here, he was going to be limited in practice every week no matter what? Or was he limited because there's still some true effects of, you know, what was going on in the summer, well, last year and into the summer? So if it is the first, then, okay, he should play more this week because you're ramping him up. So he should play into half. So I want to see how they use Legarius Sneed. I hope and I assume it would be more than what it was last year, unless his body is saying otherwise. I mean, last game, unless his body was saying otherwise.
One quick sidebar. We have talked a lot about Ali Udoh, mm-hmm, or Ali Ono.
Uh-oh.
Or Ali. Or uh-oh.
That's the third one.
But so Callahan did not commit to Ali Udoh being the starter in place of Latham, and he mentioned Blake Hance and John Ojukwu as potential options. I have heard of John Ojukwu. He was on the team last year. Raise your hand if you know who Blake Hance is. I'm not raising my hand. I've never heard of that guy. He might be your right tackle.
Blake Hance.
Okay. Come on down. You're going to block one of the top front fours in football on Sunday.
You're the next.
Do you think the Rams are salivating on that? Holy cow. Okay. When we come back, we're going to get more into the game plan. And it's going to center in on, can Brian Callahan's game plan get around this stuff? They've lost a couple of key guys. You're facing a really tough defense again. And your ultimate goal is to get Cam Ward there across the bridge, surviving to where you can put better pieces around him. Tough, tough matchup in the home opener. When we come back, we're going to hit it. You're listening to 102.5 The Game, and this is DVD. Yes, we're going with a Motown theme today. A little D-Mace, the Motor City, Detroit native.
Mm-hmm.
A little Temptations. We're getting ready. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Okay, we've got a lot of people that are weighing in here on this game.
That's what we want.
And so we're going to break down, first, what to look for when the Rams have the ball, and then our next segment, what happens when the Titans have the ball. We have a couple of unnamed texters, so we're going to give them maybe some Motown names. Let's go with Smokey Robinson here, text. I want the return on the money Sneed represents. I think the limited is the plan because of the pitch count. Yes, it's because of the pitch count. I do think that's the thing. You're paying him so much, you want him to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
But the last thing you want is for him to go too much too soon, and he blows it out, and then we're talking about Sneed not being available for the rest of the season. So with that in mind, Derek, let's talk about the Rams passing game. Because it's unique. They're very good at getting the ball out quick. I look at Matthew Stafford, and I see somebody who's completely different than what they faced last week in Bo Nix. They did a pretty good job of making Bo Nix make tough decisions.
Mm-hmm.
They move Bo Nix all over the place. He threw on the run a lot. I don't think you're going to see as much of that from Stafford. So Describe what you can about what we're going to see from the Rams passing game.
I want to preface it by saying I think that the Rams are a better team from top to bottom than the Titans. But if you're thinking that like they have superior talent than the Titans, you're sadly mistaken. That is not the case. It is 100% not the case, especially on offense. Now, listen, they got Matthew Stafford, hell of a quarterback. I think he's going to end up being a Hall of Famer because he won that Super Bowl, and he's always been a consistent passer. And obviously he didn't win his championship till he left, but still, you got to have mad respect for what he's been able to do, especially playing in Detroit for that long. So you have a consistent, steady, you know, at this point of his career, he's a really good quarterback. He's not going to do too many things that are going to hurt you. He's going to read the offense. He's going to read the defense the way it's supposed to be read. And listen, if it's not there, he's getting out of his hands. He's not sitting there waiting on sack. So when I look at this team, I'm not looking at a team that is so superior over the Tennessee Titans that it's just going to be, you know, they have no chance. I see a team that have good talent but great coaching and a great scheme. And it's not that the scheme is different from the Titans, because I think for pretty much it's sort of the same system, same iteration of the same system, maybe ran a little bit different or worded a little bit different. Each coach takes the system and they do with it something a little bit different than the next guy. So it's in premise, I think it's the same offense. But what the Rams do so well, and I'm still trying to understand why the Titans, it doesn't look that way with the Titans. It's not about players. It's about scheme with the L.A. Rams. Their scheme, the way McVay calls that game, it's outstanding, man. It truly is. They never stay still. I'm just going to give you the first 8-9 plays of a series. Quickly, and I'm just going to quickly go down it. And this is what I talked about with the Titans, like, and maybe they're not at that point yet because they got a young quarterback, and Matthew Stafford's been in the league 12, 13 years, so you can do that. And he's been in the system a while. First play, 3-1, motion to 2-2, okay? So they're moving around. Quarterback hit his back foot, the ball's out, completion. Second play, 2-2, motion to 3-3, a run play. So they're motioning. They get you moving. They want to see what you're doing from a defensive standpoint. Third play, 3-1, motion to 2-2, okay? Then they run double slants. They hit the guy on his back on that third, what would have been his third step, but he took it out of shotgun. Soon as he saw it, he released the ball. Fifth play, 3-1. They stayed in 3-1. This is the only time in that series they stayed 3-1. They just went to a complete drop back. Incomplete pass. Why do I think it was an incomplete pass? There was no movement. There was no movement. Your superpower, the Rams' superpower is movement. Why? Movement caused confusion. And that's what they're banking on, that not all 11 of y'all are on the same page. If they can get one of y'all, especially in the secondary, if they can get one of y'all not on the same page or tick slow, we got it. I'm hitting my back foot and I'm throwing it. Play 6, 2-2, split tight right. They motion outside the receiver. So they got a 2-2. They motion. They stay in a 2-2, but they motion. There's still movement. Every play that I charted in that drive, all but one was motion, moving guys, confusing guys, trying to make the defense declare what they're going to do. That's where I want the Titans to be. And then I said, you know what, let me go outside of this. Let me look further along in the game just to make sure I'm just not being sort of caught up on just one series. I went in the third quarter. It was the same thing, movement, goal line movement. They move so much. It's because they're banking, again, they're banking on someone making a mistake in the front or either on the back end. They're causing confusion. And it's not about the talent, because if I took Calvin Ridley and Alec Eilmanner and put them on the Rams team, and I took Puka Nacua and say Tutu Atwell and put him on the Titans team. I guarantee you, the two that I took off this team and put it on the Rams team, they will have more production. It will look a little bit different. It's the way the game is being called. Now, again, I'm not saying that Callahan is a bad play caller. He's just not at the level of McVay.
Yeah.
McVay knows how to call this game, and it looks seamless. That quarterback hits his back foot, and he's throwing the ball. Everything is timing and route running. And even if you get pushed, I know that I got to take a yard or two off the route, so it times up. It doesn't look – I saw a few times in the game this past weekend where that timing, hit that back foot, you throw it, he looks great. It's when he doesn't hit that back foot and he has to go to that third or that fourth. That's when everything sort of – or his eyes are not moving fast enough to where he does hit that third step and he's releasing the ball. You can expect that from Matthew Stafford because he's been in the league so long. I want the Titans – offense to operate the way that the Rams offense operate. The fluidity in the offense and the movement to cause confusion.
Matthew Stafford, we know about the back. He got through last week. He's going to be all right this week. He, when he's on the field, has been quietly, just a really steady, mm-hmm. I shouldn't say quietly because they won a Super Bowl. And so the trade, and they gave up a lot to get him, the trade has worked. He has been probably continuing on a track to being maybe an underrated candidate for the Hall of Fame. I don't know if he's a shoe-in, but he's going to have a really good case, especially if he can have another good year this year. He doesn't get sacked very much. They get rid of the ball, as you said, back foot, get it out, even though he doesn't move as well. They've had, I think, kind of an underrated running game. Kyren Williams, I didn't realize how good he was the last couple years. He had 316 carries last year. He is an every-down back. He had over 1,200 yards last year. So they're top 10 passing and top 10 running, basically. It's not spectacular, but it's good. They do play action very well. The Texans, they held Williams in check. They didn't get run on very much. They only had 72 yards rushing last week. So based on what you see, how do you think Denard Wilson's defense will match up with these guys? Like, it's a different type of offense they're facing. How will they try to go about it? Especially not having Sweat in the middle.
I think based on last week, if they continue to communicate, they'd be okay. Because, again, I don't look at an offense that says and say, man, they got like just, you know, top 10 players at that position across the board. They may not even have top 20 players across the board. Puka Nacua, he's a top 10 player. Outside of Puka Nacua and Matthew Stafford, they don't have much of, like, you talked about the running back, but is he really a top 10 running back? He may be because the running back depth is not there as far as across the league at dominant running back. So he may find himself in that sort of rarefied era being a top 10 at your position. But beside that.
Okay, Davante Adams, what do you think? Where do you think he is in his career now? He's the new guy that they have.
Davante, is he a top 10 receiver?
Once upon a time.
Oh, definitely. Yes. Once upon a time, yeah, definitely. Yeah. He was a top two receiver.
But what is he now?
He's hovering. He's probably that 11, 12 guy that he can look like a top 10 on some weeks, but then it's not going to be consistent enough, or it hasn't shown to be consistent. I'm not saying that he lost a step or not, but the numbers are harder to come by now for him. But can he, if Puka Nacua was to go down, could he step into that role in this offense? Yes, he could, because this offense is about confusing the defense. It's not necessarily about the players that we have. They have good players, but I'm not sitting here saying, oh, they got Jefferson and Tyreek Hill and Ja'Marr Chase and guys like, no, they don't. I like Puka Nacua, but I'm looking at it and I'm analyzing it and saying, if I put Calvin Ridley in that offense, how would he look? He would look just like Puka Nacua.
Really?
Yes.
So Nacua last week, 11 targets, 10 catches, 130 yards. And I can think of Cooper Kupp as well. So many of their catches over the last few years are quick throws, high percentage passes, well blocked, and they make it happen that way. Now, one thing I saw the Titans do well last week that I hope will carry over is they tackled in space very well. They didn't allow a lot of run after catch. I think that's going to be a key stat to look at on Sunday, you gotta, run after catch.
And the Rams tackle well. That's why
they tend to keep
individuals in front of them. They tackle well. They rally to the ball. But back to the offense. The one thing that if I had to say anything, Calvin Ridley, if you take him and put him in the Rams offense, he would be the Puka Nacua if he would catch the ball. That's his problem, him dropping balls that he knows he should catch. So outside of that, which is a big thing, I get it, it's a big thing. But if you're just saying, okay, if I just took the talent that Calvin Ridley has and I put him in that offense, how would it look? Well, it should look exactly like Puka Nacua. Exactly. Why? Because Sean McVay has been at this for a while. He understands. Then you got a quarterback that has been at this for a while. The Titans are behind the eight ball in both. Well, let's not say behind the eight ball. They are further behind the Rams when it comes to an experienced play caller, an experienced quarterback.
When we come back, we'll flip it. We'll look at Titans offense versus Rams defense. No J.C. Latham. Can Brian Callahan scheme around this and put Cam Ward in a position to succeed against a very, very good defense that gets after the quarterback? Hey, Wisconsin takes on Alabama tomorrow at 11 a.m. in our college football game of the week on 102.5 The Game. It's presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage begins, and coverage will be available on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com.
Very superstitious.
Got a little Motown theme for you on this Friday. A lot of the Titans fans are going to be using their superstition. Whatever works for you. I got my Mets hat on. I got to flip the script, man. The Mets are trying to hang on. It is not looking good. This is the time of the year.
Do they have another color hat? Like,
yeah, they go with the black every now and then.
Won't you wear the black or the white hat?
I've been trying everything, D-Mates. Nothing's working, man. Everything was working until middle of June.
Everything was working until it stopped working.
It's been a long drought. TD and I need some therapy, I think. Thron Davenport, fellow Mets fan. But Titans-Rams on Sunday, home opener. And I look at this. I think of Andy Reid, Sean Payton, pick whoever you think are the best play callers. Part of a play caller's job, D-Mace, is to scheme your way around a tough injury. And we saw last week that the Titans had trouble protecting Cam Ward in general. Then when J.C. Latham went down, they really had some problems.
Yes.
You got Dan Moore on the other side. He struggled. You got Lloyd Cushenberry in the middle, who probably still is not anywhere close to his best, coming off of a serious injury. And you're facing a Rams defense that is probably almost as good. And correct me if I'm wrong, they probably don't blitz as much. They're not as ferocious as the Broncos in that they're going to bring the fifth guy, the sixth guy. The Rams have a very good scheme, and they're going to get there with four. So this is where Brian Callahan has to try to help Cam Ward with his scheme, but you've got to do it knowing you don't have J.C. Latham and you have a hodgepodge of people you hope are better than Nicholas Petit-Frere at right tackle. So can he do it, and how does he do it?
Well, last week in his defense, and people don't think that I'm, you know, it's not an excuse per se, but in his defense, when you've prepared all week with these 11 players and one of your guys, you know, like slowly starts to break down, your game plan is already in. Everything's in now. And you just hope that his backup can come in and help just sort of like stop the warding from coming in. You know, at least maintain.
And he had to know on Sunday night that there was a pretty good chance that Latham was either going to be completely compromised or out, right? So I hope they've been thinking about how do we protect, not knowing that we got a problem over here.
Yeah, because J.C. didn't practice much last week, right?
He didn't practice at all.
Didn't practice.
And he didn't finish the game last Sunday. Yeah. So you should have an idea.
So you're hoping that, you know – JC can come in and he can finish the game. We're going to manage it a certain way. But then when that sort of dissolves, that plan dissolves, then the other guy comes in, and now the plan is the same, but you got to alter it some. But you don't know how much you got to alter it. Come to find out, they should have altered it a lot, because that was one of the reasons why, you know, frankly, the offense didn't do well along with the drops. It's because the quarterback didn't have the time that he necessarily needed. And at times, he held the ball too long. So you hope those are things that with a full week of practice, they can better prepare themselves. Now, here's the problem. His backup. Because now what you're forced to do is to play three guys and try to find out. Not so much of what you're essentially trying to do is who can play this position for this week. That's what you're trying to find out. Well, you saw last week that the young guy may have some troubles. So now we got to work in the other two. That's why he didn't, you know, commit to one guy. It's three guys that are going to be potentially working at that position. And here's the problem. All three of those guys have to get enough time with those plays to make sure things run, or hope things run the way they need to. All these guys ain't going to get to practice against the front that they're going to see. Maybe one or two of them. That's pushing it. But at least one guy is going to get all the reps. Well, what happens when he goes down and you got to go to the next guy? You hadn't given him many reps. What happens if that doesn't work? Then the next guy you got to bring in. You are in a bad position right now. And that's why I said losing J.C. Latham is more detrimental to this team than losing to Vondre Sweat. Because now I got to work through 2 to 3 other people that may not get the job. We've seen this book before. We've seen this movie before with the tackles. And no matter what guy they brought in, it didn't work. I'm hoping that it works this time. But, man, oh, man, it doesn't look good.
It doesn't. And they were good last year, the Rams, at having success. In fact, they had a big jump when they brought the fifth guy, statistically, according to FDN Fantasy, or FDN Football Almanac. So the Rams, as we discussed early in the week, they had that huge run with Aaron Donald and that group. They mortgaged the whole future, seemingly, by trading all of the picks. F them picks was their thing. But they have done a great job with the picks they've had. Guys that maybe aren't household names. Jared Verse, Defensive Rookie of the Year last year. 4.5 sacks, but he pressured a lot. And they also have the best rookie rusher in terms of sacks, two other guys the last 2 years, young guys, Braden Fisk, Kobe Turner. So they have three guys that are young, not household names, not high picks, that are great players for them. So that is going to be something. So tell me about the game plan. We've talked about this with Cam Ward. Can they devise something that gets the ball, forces him to get the ball out quicker? Because if he holds the ball, we've heard all of the national people weigh in. We've had our own observations. And it does seem like he still has a DNA of wanting to hold it a little longer and throw the ball down the field more. And I am worried about that against this team with the protection issues that they're going to have.
Well, this is something that, you know, the coordinators on offense, offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, running back coordinator, whoever, they all need to get together and try to figure out a way to not make everything down the field. And if it is, that it needs to be a down the field, that back foot hits and you're getting rid of the ball. Because you got to understand that we are at a deficit on the offensive line, especially this week without having our starting right tackle out there. So everything that's called has to be short to intermediate. And then you pick and choose when you're going to play action. It can't look like last week where he's averaging 10.8 yards per pass thrown in the air. That was the highest in the NFL. It can't be that way, especially with a young quarterback. Now, when it's working, it's great. Throw the ball across the yard. But it didn't work last week. because of whatever reason, guys dropping balls, you're not challenging calls, yada, yada, yada. But this week poses a different issue. Why? Because you don't have your right tackle. You don't have your right tackle, and your center still is getting over
and
his
Achilles.
And you
got a shaky left tackle,
yeah,
let's be honest.
And the shaky left tackle. So now you have to shorten things up. You got to make sure you get the ball out of his hand quickly. You got to motion, more motions.
What about using Cam Ward as a runner a little bit more? He didn't have a single rushing attempt. Do they need to look at that?
I understand what people want to see, but Cam's not a running quarterback. Not that
he
can't run, because he can run. He can get the yardage. I saw that last game. It was just negated by a penalty, but he can get the yard. I don't want to see any design runs. I don't from Cam, because he's not a design run guy. That's like trying to design a run. And people, I'm not saying that he's this guy or these guys. That's like designing a run for Joe Burrow or designing a run for Patrick Mahomes. You don't design run for those guys. Those guys run when they have to. You don't design. Now, you may design a rollout or a boot, something like that, something that the Titans may do more of because movement with the line may help you. But as far as like calling a run for a quarterback, I wouldn't do that if I'm the Titans, because
I don't know about calling a run, but using some mobility, move the pocket a little.
Well, they can move the pocket, yes.
I'm just looking for things because.
But is this offense built on moving the pocket?
Not really, yeah. Right? I think we would agree. But I think of Andy Reid, and this is what the great ones do. But now you've got a young head coach, a young quarterback, and a defense you know gets after the quarterback. If he cannot scheme around this, you could lose the game simply because you can't protect your quarterback, especially without J.C. Latham in there and all the other issues you've got on the offensive line. Let's be honest, limited weapons to throw to. You could lose based on this. So do you go conservative? Do you try to win the game with defense and special teams? This is to me where you really earn your money as a play caller, head coach, knowing what's your best way to win. And that's going to lead us into our next hour, the question of there's a lack of confidence in Brian Callahan right now. You've got the home opener, and I would say, D-Mace, there are going to be some boos early in the game if it doesn't look good. And so this is a big showcase for Brian Callahan. He needs to have a game where whether they win or lose, he comes out of there looking like, hey, that was a good game plan. They gave it their all. They came up short. Or, hey, nice win. We're going to discuss that in the next hour because I think that's a central question here. They've got some issues here, and they're facing a good team. What will they look like, and can Brian Callahan restore some confidence in the locker room? Let's be honest. I think you could lose the locker room if it snowballs. And, of course, all of the noise and howling after what happened last week in Denver. We're going to talk about it in the next hour. Starting at 4 o'clock, we got Chad Withrow at 4:20. We'll talk college football with him and ask D-Mace at 5 o'clock. We're just getting rolling here on this Friday afternoon on DVD.